Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. We celebrate our victories. We stick together in defeat. Proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Straight in then, are we?
Straight in. I have put up questions, but we got a question. I got a sent a question by Adam Leverbrow. I thought I'd read it out. Anyway.
Told you how tired I am.
You're going to love this.
Fucking hell.
Adam, he loves a question, doesn't he? Especially a long one. And he's figured out how to circumvent the 256 characters that Twitter have and sends me a direct message.
We'll send you a fax.
I've had shorter faxes. Anyway, he says that he hopes we're all well. Anyway, a couple of months ago, the vast majority of the fan base were Moyes out. He's put in brackets, myself included. Get this.
He's flip-flopping, is right, he?
Wait for it. I wanted us to lose against Forest. I admit I was wrong. He, at the moment, hoping for a change. So he actually wanted us
he
to lose.
At the moment, he's going on about all fucking week, he, at the moment.
Anyway. With 7 Premier League games to go, and potentially 5 left in the Europa League, would you be happy if Moyes stayed for another couple of seasons? He's continued, let him finish. This has played in my mind, and the more I hear, be careful what you wish for, well, he's not here, Ed. The more I'm inclined, in Moyes is staying. He's then gone, now
fuck
you ready,
you.
Jane?
Yeah.
Cue the abuse.
Yeah, well, you deserve it for flip-flopping, don't you?
Yeah. This is where he baffles me. I just don't think the right man is out there who can propel this club.
Hold up, let
him finish, yeah? Can propel this club to where we want to be. Yeah, there's plenty of coaches out there, but who can realistically take West Ham into a top four spot? We need a miracle worker, and the more I think about it, we've already got one in David Moyes. He's keen to hear your views.
He fucking shouldn't be. I think you deserve to be in a mental institution. That's what I fucking think. How do you say go from I don't want West Ham to fucking win to sign Moyes up in like 3 weeks? No, look, it's not that. You got to look at the grand overview of things. Are we making the most out of our academy? No. Are we making most of fringe players? No. Are we spending too much on overrated players? Yes. It's just... Right now, David Moyes isn't the right person for the club right now. And the season ain't even finished. We're still in a cup and European qualification at stake. And he's still not the right man. So, I mean, you can't just keep running a football club like we have. We've got to make a change. At the beginning, when he came back the second time, I didn't really want him. But, you know, he proved himself to be the right man at that time. I just don't think he is anymore.
Right. Okay.
Don't be a coward, Adam. Blimey. For fuck's sake.
I must admit, I'm more baffled by flip-floppers, yeah, and their thinking than I am of the staunch people that take a point of view and stick by it and with good enough reasons. I can sort of understand. And that good enough reason for me is the style of football. It would be quite, I don't know what the word is of me, to criticise people that severely dislike Moyes for the style of football he plays, while I hang my hat on the Sam Allardyce is the Darth Vader of football.
Yeah. Very wrong of you, that.
Well, I don't think so. But with Moyes, I see it's a different brand of football to Allardyce. I'm not sure. The West Ham way. I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not sure you could play the West Ham way successfully in modern day football. But you could play a better brand of football. So what we got this season from David Moyes, for me, is, you know, yes, there's been bright moments, but here I am, bored as shit, watching the West Ham Bournemouth game, where there was just nothing, to watching, as I said, probably the worst half of football for a decade, I've watched West Ham play, and, you know, I've roughly seen near enough, you know, 90% of the games played in the last decade.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of football. And that was, for the first 45 minutes, that was as bad as it could get to not muster a shot off target, let alone on target, and not to create anything at all. Yeah, shows how bad it was. But then, you know, the best of Moyes, you could say, he turns it round in the second half. I think you were fortunate, actually, to walk away with the 3 points, looking at the disallowed goal and everything. But hey-ho, away wins an away win. As for what Adam, I must admit, Ad, how are people go from one extreme where this is, what, 4 or 5 games ago, Nottingham Forest?
Yeah.
You know, and you actually got your wish. We lost, but guess what? He didn't get sacked. So how anyone can, even under Allardyce, never wanted West Ham to lose. Never did I think, I hope we lose because then he gets sacked. You know, the point of us being football fans is, and supporting a football club in the likes of West Ham is, it's got to be club first over anything. West Ham has to win football. Then you pick the bones out of what's left of it.
Yeah. Hang your head in shame, Adam, is what Nigel's saying.
Basically, yeah. You're not. No, you're not far off of it. It baffles me how you can do that. So, I didn't realise how long episode whatever we recorded went on, but anyway,
yeah.
I posted a message about 45 minutes ago and we've had people pop up. First up, let's go to all comments. So Ted Sexton, my good mate, evening gents, if we can keep it down to 2-0 on Thursday, what's your thinking on us getting a win at home?
Well, not fucking 3-0.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we lose 2-0 away, I think the best you could hope for is we win on penalties. And I doubt if we do that, looking at our penalty takers. Yes. There's a good outside chance of us getting through. But not losing 2-0 away at the moment, I don't believe, no. The old boy Sister Emma is a top fan. Oh, Grant Croxford, evening chaps, says, hope you're all well. Here we go. Another. What was your favourite fairground ride growing up and why? Brady out, Sullivan out. Copy and paste merchant out.
Is that the gravity wheel or the waltzer? But I think the waltzer, because you could share it with kind of your mates and your family, couldn't you? So you all enjoyed it together a bit more.
Well, the Easter Fair was back this weekend at Wanstead Flats. The Dodgems for me. I was never a big ride person, I must admit. I used to go for the, you know, throw the ping pong ball into the jar, or
the horse racing one. Yeah, I fucking loved it.
You know, the horse racing or the camel one. Win a goldfish. Throw a dart into the biggest deck of cards. Won fair few goldfish, and a few of them lived for a good few years as well. So I must admit, disappointing when they stopped giving the old goldfish away. What else did I used to like? Knock the tin cans down.
Yeah, that was good.
Coconut shy. I actually won, did two once. When I paid me a couple of quid for me five balls, I think it was at South End though, and actually knocked two coconuts off the stalls.
Nice one.
Yeah, bit of a dead end I was. Sorry, I'd lost the spot. So look out, Bank Holiday Monday, fair's back. I'm hoping to go to, must go back to the Wanstead Flats Fair. Used to love it over there. Unless it had pissed down with rain and it was soaked in mud.
I ain't fucking stopped, is it?
No. It's rained tonight, I've heard. Right, Andy Farrell.
Yeah, down here.
Yeah. Weren't the Farrells, weren't that the brothers in INXS? I believe. Evening, gents, he says. What do you think will be the chance of us playing in Europe next season? Brady out.
Brady out. 33% chance, I'd say. If you ask me, what's it going to go down to? You think? We don't know.
It will.
It goes down to eight.
I think it'll go to. I think there's a good chance of it going to eight.
And that'll be European Vars.
The Conference League, yeah.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, if he gets that European Conference League.
It's a decision, isn't it, for the fucking owners.
Well, it is because of his record in it. You know. Played 13, lost none. 1-12, drew one. You'd think, well, to be honest, I think any European football, you know, he's coming back.
I think he stays.
Yeah, you know, to do it for a fourth year running, is you know, well, third is unprecedented at West Ham. It is going a bit off tangent, as we love to do. So when does we touched on it briefly last week with Ian Dowell, but when does it become next level? When do you think they can rightly stand up and say, this is why we came here? Would 4 years in European football consecutively, is that next level?
No, you can't. I don't think you can mezzanine next level. You can't say, you know, there's no. When we moved the next level, we knew what the next level was, and it's not this.
Yes.
What it is, the next. It's kind of come down to us rather than us go up to success. Can't feel fucking eighth is next level. You know, because we could have done that at Upton Park.
Well, we did.
Yeah.
That's exactly the way I see it. Is next level for
me. But you know, this next level wasn't our phrase. There might not be a fucking next level. We may have already been at the top level, and people just confuse that with Champions League. I mean, look at Tottenham now. The amount of Tottenham fans I know, wanted to bypass the UEFA Cup. You know, wasn't interested in it, and. In a way, they were probably right, because because they've been a Champions League Cup club now and they are to avoid UEFA by being that club in the end, thanks to Avery Redknapp, they are now regarded as a big club and they get the dividends from that, really. Or a being a Champions League club or having Champions League pedigree, and they get the dividends by that.
Mm.
And we don't want to do that because we don't want to throw UEFA away. So our outlook of football is different to a team 5 miles down the road. Less than that.
Yeah.
So, you know, this next level was probably Sullivan's words. Don't know.
Well, it was a selling point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they had to convince the fan base. You know, can you imagine Liverpool not playing at Anfield, Man United not playing at Old Trafford?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people could say that Arsenal about Ibury, but then again, Arsenal did start in South London and were a South London club for at least 20 years before they moved north of the river, I believe, or 18 years. You know, they had to get the fans to move, that they could, like, in a way, they could feed off of what had happened to Man City, and the fans maybe would buy into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they left it quite ambiguous, didn't
they?
Yeah. It's a typical selling point. If you can't define what it is,
that's
right, then they can't deny they haven't achieved it.
No.
But, I mean, I would say, if you're someone who just wants to watch every game on TV, then it is next level, because you're watching more and more West Ham on the box. If you're going to Stratford on a Sunday at 2 o'clock, it's a fucking backward steps, I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're in the latter category.
Mm. Yeah.
So we don't mean to piss on your chips, you know, the ones that are enjoying it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It didn't have to be like this.
No. We wouldn't have minded that at Upton Park at all.
No. And it is funny because in a way, you know, you call them tourist fans, whatever. So fans from abroad. We used to get a lot of them at Upton Park. So,
oh yeah. Everyone that went into the fucking bowling in the pub.
This is the thing. The anomaly is that you couldn't get tickets for Upton Park, and that it was difficult to get into games, and it was this and it was that, and that's why we had to move. But we had a fantastic, you know, the Belgium Hammers every week, coach load of them. You know, they always got tickets.
Yeah.
Norwegian Hammers, Dutch Hammers.
Yeah.
Americans. You know, Dave and John. Dave and John were regular, you know, or attended Upton Park regularly and got tickets. So, when we say realistically the tourist money is the occasional, you know, football fan not actually connected to a club. That's the type of money they want.
Yeah.
Right, before I drag us down a road we definitely don't want to go down, Ryan Doyle is up next.
Right.
Evening, gents, says Ryan. I don't know how many times Moyes needs to see when we attack, we're so much better. His stubbornness to play Moyes ball constantly is baffling. And once he switched it up at half-time, we look better. Right, his question is, do you think we should play five at the back Thursday if Bowen can't play? He says it worked. I like the way he says five at the back, where I was calling it three. It worked well in the second half with Emerson and Johnson as wing-backs.
Fucking hell.
What do you think?
I couldn't tell you.
No.
I don't know. I mean, if it fucking fouls badly, I mean, we see what it's like against Spurs.
Would it not be good, you know, if we go back to what I said, if he went for the, say, 5-3-2 or 3-5-2, but add Ings and Antonio up front, Because in theory then, Antonio's got less work to do. So he wouldn't be so knackered. And he would have someone up there with him to help him. And the funny thing is as well is that if you occupy the defenders, if you only play one up front, the defenders have only got one to worry about. You play two up front, they've got double to worry about, and also then they'll want cover. So it means you've got three or four players tied up marking those two. And it creates space for others. If both teams pack the midfield out, it just gets bogged down in midfield. So,
that's... We just ain't seen enough of anything now, have we, except Moyes' ball?
No, that's true. Well, no, but that's the thing. The second half against Wolves, we were bloody excellent.
Yeah, but their star man went off, you know, well, 7 or 8 minutes in.
Yeah, so did I, so you could say. Just clean my glasses.
Hold yeah, up. Well, that's true.
While I do this. All right, next up is Matty Kemp, the roadie. Evening, gents. Says, we all know Paqueta's got a release clause, yet is we the don't. Figure 85 or 50? Because he thinks the latter, the 50, has been quoted in the press.
No, it's 85 at the end of this season.
Yeah.
It was 50 in the last season.
Can we put a buyback clause in? Should Man City be playing League One? Ooh, very contentious. Listen, they ain't getting... Even Everton's points deduction today, found guilty again, another 2 points. Or you know, they make sure there's just enough points for them not to be relegated. The last thing the Premier League want is Everton to be relegated because of a points deduction. And the same for Nottingham Forest. The Premier League are hoping these two clubs don't go down. Because if they get relegated off the back of a points deduction, they know there could be legal hell to pay.
Who made the decision on the points? Because it's the other clubs who made a decision on the ruling.
Yeah, I'm guessing they'll come out and go, it's some independent whatever.
Independent at all, I imagine.
Yeah. Next up, yes, probably when you bet. Don't you remember? Because I think on the last one they said it was Nick Igo had been involved, who was the ex financial director of West Ham, who was at the club, running the finance department when we bought Tevez. Good afternoon, says Barry Meikle from
afternoon
Total Solar Eclipse Canardia.
Is he in that little... Do you think he is in that little valley? You know, that little stripe that sees the total one?
Yeah, I think he is, yeah. Because I know the bit I heard on the radio, some nutcase had got up to early and got a good spot at Niagara Falls. So bearing in mind that's the border with...
I did hear that.
...Canadia. So I'm guessing, yes. Good result again. 12 points from our last 7 games... He says, which only yielded 3 points last season. Wow, that's a great stat. Can the Stooge give a Johnson contract update? Well, he's not here. Question for you, Slot. And he's answered you, Bal, on Facebook. So we'll leave it there. Question for you, Slot. What's the worst refereeing decision you've ever seen? He's gone Mike Dean's red card for Suchek versus Fulham a couple of years back. Brady out.
Brady out. Yeah, he's rung a bell there. That's up there. Worst ref's decision. That one against Chelsea was bad.
Do you know there's a funny one which reminded me, which if you compared the two goals, one was given, one wasn't. And it's if you look at the Wolves goal and then jump back, what was it, 40-odd years to the League Cup final goal.
Yeah.
Similar in a way as such that it was all to do with a player blocking a keeper's view and the way the law... saw it. How would VAR treat Alan Kennedy's goal in the League Cup final of 81.
Well, back then, if you were offside, you were offside.
Yeah.
And the flag went up.
Yes. And the ball passed directly over Sammy Lee's head.
Yeah.
Now, again, I would argue he wasn't obscuring Parks's view.
Well, you couldn't if you were Sammy Lee.
No, because if he was standing up, he wouldn't have obscured exactly. Parks's view, let alone laying down. But the fact that he was there and the ball passed directly over his head, I don't know, has Phil ever said his take on it? He must have done. What was his take?
See him in a couple of weeks and ask.
We'll have to ask.
And record it for the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be good to know actually. What his view on that goal is. Because in a way, and how does he see it? You can link it to that Wolves goal, you know, if you see it. I nearly said, of course, he used to play with Wolves. But of course,
that's a different one.
That is a different.
There's only one Phil Parks.
That would have been a joke, people.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
There was two.
And Phil was born very close to Wolverhampton, but wasn't the Phil Parks that played in goal for Wolverhampton.
No.
So, next up is Dodsey. Evening, he says.
I haven't even got the energy to make a fucking joke about his prostitution.
No. Perhaps save it to next week.
Yeah.
Anyway, evening. Everyone, trust everyone is well, except for Sean, who was on holiday and managed to create a total solar eclipse across most of America. I personally thought the Wolves goal should have stood. I know what the rules say, just my opinion. One question only with the remaining fixtures. So he's only got one question. How many points do you think we'll get? Do you think we'll make top eight?
I don't even know how many points we've got now.
Right, so we've got 48 points now.
Right.
So these are the games left. We've got Fulham at home.
1 point, 49.
Palace away.
I'll take another point. 50.
Chelsea away. We've got...
Fucking hell, I don't know what the sound of this.
Yeah.
Come on, carry on.
Liverpool at home.
I can't call any of these. I mean, I know, you know, that's football, but...
You ready? Luton at home. And then Man City away.
Better time to play Luton.
Not in that order before people write in. Not in that order.
Well, I don't think we get anything at Man City. They'll be playing for the title.
Yeah. So Luton at home.
I think it's a fucking awful time to play Luton. They could be fighting for their lives.
Or they could be gone already.
They could be gone.
Or it could be the game that relegates them.
let's say the law of averages. Let's say we get another two wins and two draws out of it. And then two losses.
Eight points.
Yeah. So 8 points. And Amy said we got 49. 48.
48. Mm. So 56. Right. I'm going for 10.
Oh yeah.
I think we'll beat Fulham. I think we beat Palace. And I think we beat Luton. And I think we draw against Chelsea.
Three London derbies.
Yeah.
Luton playing for their lives.
Yeah.
And then two fucking Champions League teams.
Yeah. I think we lose to Liverpool, obviously, and we lose to Man City. But that's how I see our tally.
And then we got the palate cleanser of Leverkusen.
Yeah. So obviously my 10 points gives us 58, which by my reckoning, I think is 2 or 3 light of being 7th.
You think?
I think you need 60 to 62 to finish 7th this season.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Can I say this all pans out?
Yeah. The team I think will go past us is Newcastle. That's what I think.
You know where that fucking happened. That was last week.
No, yeah. You know, and it could come down to, you know, not, you know, we should have got a point. We should have got a point away to Newcastle.
We should have got fucking three.
Yeah, well, you said that. Jake Daniel says, evening, gents. If you prefer it, you can call me Jack. There you go.
Cool.
That's good. It's Jack Daniel. How far back can you remember a player getting slagged off by the fans similar to Phillips? He says, I'm curious to how it was in the 80s, 90s and 2000s compared to the social media era. Moyes out, Brady out, and Sean talking over other hosts out.
Yeah.
Well, we've not had that this week. So I'm feeling quite calm this week, actually, for some strange reason.
Yeah.
So, players slagged off by the fans, similar to Phillips. Blimey. Who was
Speedy got a bit on loan, first of all.
Yeah, yeah. He nearly got me punched in the face, David Speedy.
Did he really?
Yeah. I called him a Scottish C-U-N-T, and it just so happened that a Scotsman was sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Blimey. Benny McCarthy, I suppose, he was universally. Nigel Kwasi, I felt a bit for. I'm trying to think of players that were booed when coming onto the pitch.
Bowen Malte,
yeah, old slow Malte.
Bowen Malte, it was great till he joined us.
Yeah. Early 2000s, TT Kamara. It was never took to. Someone that played regular. Blimey. That's a struggle. Someone that played so regular that got dogs abuse. I was never like that with players.
No.
So, I'm trying to think of players I might have thought, well, that's a bit odd. Do you know what? I think Steve Walford, funny enough, I'm not sure the fan base ever took to him. I don't know if it was his Tottenham Arsenal connections or whatever, but I don't think he was that. He was left back, wasn't he, Steve Walford? So he was there as a sort of cover for Lampard, and when Lampard disappeared, trying to think in the late 80s, who's there? There's two, isn't it? Obvious, actually.
Yeah, McKnight and the striker.
Kelly. And it is funny because I think if you look at Dave Kelly's, I think he got 12 or 14 goals.
It's not to be sniffed at, in that
season. And the problem with him is that he came out of league. For those that don't know, we signed Dave Kelly from Walsall. And he was a goal machine for Walsall. Maybe easier to do. He was in what would equivalent be League One now. Walsall done well. But West Ham beat Liverpool and Bayern Munich to win Dave Kelly's signature. Because it was us and those two teams. It may seem strange, but that is true. Throw in the fact that Liverpool had won the title in 88. Bayern Munich were obviously still the biggest team in Germany in 88. And in 88, we were lucky to stay up. And Kelly joined us. And it was a year that we went down. And then you had Alan McKnight, who was the Northern Ireland number one. He'd come from Celtic, where he was, I think he was the Celtic number one as well at the time. Joined us. Had a few good games to begin with, to be fair. I remember one Wimbledon away was a good win. Mark Ward, I believe, got the goal. The strange thing I'll take from that game, totally random, is Alan Devonshire ran on the pitch and the referee blew the final whistle. So how about that for a substitution? Literally, Devo ran on the pitch and the ref blew the whistle for the end of the game. But then, for me, the fans got on his back, but it was highlight. Back then, it weren't social media, it was the newspapers. So when, you know, when the Sun I think it was the Sun that came up with McNightmare. And it may have been. I've got a feeling it was against Norwich at home. I mean, it was a bad game. But I think he came running out of his area to clear a ball, missed it. And the ball was then crossed into an, for someone to tap home into an empty net. And then off the back of that, he got christened McNightmare by the Sun newspaper.
Yeah, I remember and it.
To this day.
Or was it News of the World?
It might have been. It was definitely that. It was, but they were the people that that called him McNightmare. So, you know, there's generally, you know, there's been players, Jack, that back then, and of course back then it was done inside the ground.
Yeah.
You know, if you weren't liked, you couldn't keep off. There was no social media to keep off of. You knew it. The fans made it be known that they didn't like you.
Yeah.
Next up, Sean Whetstone.
What is he one?
Following him is Ziggy Stardust, Dave Jones.
What's Sean's one? Go on.
Shall I? Really? Question from Sunny Tenerife, or Fiverr Reef, if he's out there. If Bowen is only 50-50, would you give him a painkiller and risk him? Or rest him to make sure he's fit for the weekend and next Thursday?
Well, it depends. It's not just if it's the pain. How much movement's he got there?
I think it showed, actually, we can play well enough without him. If Moyes wants to. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we played our best football without him. So we can do it without him. Antonio, jab him up all day long.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. Nick, anyway, Ziggy Stardust. Evening all. It was nice to get a decision go away and nick 3 points from Wolves and keep us in the lofty heights of seventh. Although VAR's ruining game, do you think we've had more bad decisions than good? Does it equal itself out over the season? Also, is it VAR that is bad or the officiating that's incompetent? Brady out.
Brady out.
A few ones to right.
I think it's a bit of both. I think VAR is badly implemented. Takes too long. The rules are bad now.
Do you think football rules actually need to be rewritten for the VAR era?
Yeah, now we've got VAR, yeah. Mm. Absolutely. Start all over again.
Yeah.
From the last 3 years of VAR, you could do it, isn't it? It's the third season of VAR, isn't it?
Yeah.
This year.
It's getting worse, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's getting worse.
But I suppose the TV fans love it. That's what you're getting.
Well,
it's what it's all about.
Yeah. I don't know. One day I'll live in hope that someone will scrap it. You know, if you
it's never happened.
If you polled the fans and asked them what they thought, I'm sure you know 75% of match attending fans will tell you get rid of VAR.
It is never happening. No. It's here to stay.
Dan Numbers, is it really a solar eclipse or is Sean just bent over to pick up his beach towel?
Very harsh.
Dear, oh dear. Though that may cast a bigger shadow. Good point at home to Spurs. But another game where Moyes settled for the point rather than try find a way to win with making a sub.
I'm not sure he knew how to find a
Brady
way.
Brady out, cardboard shirt signs out, but Dolly Bird's in.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
You know, as I said last week, I sat there and said after the Newcastle game, I think I'd have preferred it if he'd kept till 11 on the pitch. He kept till 11 on the pitch. We didn't lose. You don't have to make a sub. You don't.
No, you don't. But I don't actually think he knew how to engineer anything attacking because what I will say about Tottenham, I thought they could make substitutions to improve what they were doing, but we couldn't.
Well, they did. Yeah. But it didn't improve them, though, did it?
Cause
they
didn't win the game. For the taking, yep. To be honest.
Andrew Hall, evening chaps, says Andrew. How you doing, Andrew? I hope all is good with you, I'll just say. Thought we was very lucky to get the 3 points on Saturday, but obviously would like a lot more of that sort of luck until the end of the season.
Yeah, judging by them fixtures.
Yeah, he said, I've noticed the Moyes getting a new contract ramping up whenever we get a win by various journalists in the mainstream media, including Sky, Talk Sport, and the newspaper journalists. Do the panel, that's me and you, Len, know if it's Moyes or his agent encouraging these people to do this, or do they see things we don't see? Because I don't see many games. I walk away thinking he knows what he's doing with team selections, substitutions, and buying players. It goes especially the fact, which is, I'm saying, we're relying on a 34-year-old striker to see whether we stay in Europe next season. Brady out. Wow.
Well, going back to his question about did the panel know if it's Moyes or his agent encourages people. Moyes is connected to the press by being part of the League Manager Association. He's their contact there. And he's also, his representation also represents media people. Which wouldn't happen with a mother manager. But he's already feathering his nest for when the game's over. So that's why you're seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah, I think also, perhaps a slight different take on that, but roughly the same, is that if you look at a lot of the pundits, old school football people, roughly the same era, just same age as Moyes, also the fact that he's a British manager as well.
Yeah.
I think plays into, you know, they all love Sam Allardyce as well.
Yeah.
Yeah? They don't, you know, they don't ever criticise Sam Allardyce or, you know, he's like a media lovey, like darling now, isn't he, Allardyce? Yeah. You know, everyone's got a great story about him, good old Sam and everything. So, I think it's something to do with that. The area that they played football, Moyes was managing. I don't know, but when it's pundits that have played the game, I don't know how to take it. So if you take Don Hutchinson, yeah, I like Don. I think he's good on Twitter. I listen to him when he commentates on games. There you go, isn't it? He's horses for course, I suppose. I quite like him. I think he's very good at what he does. And he is a great believer of Moyes. Now, if I'm right, did he play for Everton under Moyes? I'm not sure.
I think probably he did.
Yeah, I can't remember when he was at Everton. Was it after he left us the second time? Because he's a big defender of.
Oh yeah, he's a Scotsman as well, isn't he?
Of allegedly. Well, he's a Geordie. His dad was Scottish.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Got a story about... I've got a couple of stories about Don Acheson. First one, he married me mate's childhood sweetheart.
Oh.
Debbie. Anyway, that's not much of a story.
Mm.
Secondly, I used to play football with his agent. And no, I didn't. I played golf with his agent, Johnny Mack. He'd done the deal with West Ham twice. And he was playing golf one day, and he said he had to extend the width of his garage because he bought this new Ferrari, Don, after he signed for West Ham. But he wanted to expand it 2 inches, but he couldn't get his head round that the width of the brick was 3 or 4. So it had to be 3 or 4, but he couldn't get his head round it because obviously you'd need to be the width of a brick or half a brick. That was my story. I admit it weren't the fucking best story in the world. But every time he talks and tries to sort of have a certain amount of authority, I know best. I just think of the fucking garage.
Yeah. It's funny because there are, you know, I got told a story once about Bobby Zamora and A4 paper, which is very funny. One I can't repeat, but it just shows how some dim players can be. Looking at Don Acheson, he didn't play under Moyes, actually. He was at Everton. It was Howard Kendall that took him there from Sheffield United. He played for a lot of clubs. I didn't realise, this is mad, the team after West Ham, when West Ham released him, was actually Millwall.
Yeah.
But he didn't get on there. So ended up at Coventry City and then finished at Luton. Amazingly, if you add up his 2 stints at West Ham, he played more games for West Ham United
than
any other team. So he managed league games only, 98 league games for West Ham. He did 45 for Liverpool, 78 for Sheffield, 75 for Everton, 40 for Sunderland, 38 at Coventry and 21 at Luton and 11 at Millwall. That's, you know.
I was never a big fan of him for the price.
Well, he was a club record buy the second time around. I think it was Rhoda that brought him back. Excuse me. A good 8 years, I believe. No, it wasn't 8 years. Yeah, it was seven, eight years after we originally signed him. He came back. It was highly thought of, wasn't it? You know, we bought him from Liverpool. You know, I don't know. I quite liked him as a player. I thought he was pretty decent.
We're calmly disagreeing a lot tonight.
Yeah.
Because I ain't got the fucking energy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Was that Doogie's question? What was Doogie's question? What was their question?
Well, it was that, why do we think the his managers, is it Moyes or his agent encouraging these people? I don't think they need encouraging. Oh, yeah. I think it's like an old boys
They
club.
Want to, yeah.
Yeah.
This is really it. But some of them are turning a little bit now. Yeah. Not necessarily the journos, but the ex-players, because they're watching the game.
Yes. Yes. Those that haven't played for him.
Yeah.
So the likes of, you know, Leon Osman and, you know, that are played under him, they will, you know, I don't know.
Theo's in a fucking career. There's some
Yeah, I suppose so. Super Chrissy Mills.
Hey.
Says, evening, gents. Fantastic results Saturday. VAR decisions. A bit of luck. On to the best team in Europe on Thursday. It's easy.
Yeah.
News in last week, there will be no longer points deductions for FFP, but a Premier League tax instead. How much must Sullivan be shitting himself? He no longer have that as an excuse. Will he actually spend some of his huge wealth on leaving a proper legacy?
Nope.
Brady out.
I know nothing about this tax.
No, neither do I. I can't say I've heard that, Chris, to be honest. But in regards to Sullivan spending his own wealth, you know, the fact the man is diluting his shareholding shows you how much he wants to invest in West Ham. I think it's all about taking what he can get out of it.
And running and hiding.
Yeah. Bailing out.
Yeah. Bailing out.
Mick Clifford. Hi, chaps, all you will. Mick's got a question for us, a bit different. Off-piste. What was your favourite children's programme growing up? And he's then listed a few. Minder, The Sweeney or The Professionals. I think these must be different questions.
I think they're different questions.
So what's your favourite children's programme growing up? Ivor the Engine was mine.
I like Huckleberry Finn. I remember that being one of my faves.
Huckleberry Finn. Yeah. All right.
Strange. What would have grown up like? Might have to Google that.
Yeah.
Grange Hill, I was a massive fan.
Yeah. No, I watched it. I can't say I was a massive fan of Grange Hill. Cracker Jack, actually, as well.
I didn't like Chaos, I think it's because I was a bit haughty.
Right. He's then give us a choice of Minder, The Sweeney, or The Professionals.
Minder.
Yeah, I'm Minder.
Had a bit of comic relief in it, didn't it?
I didn't really watch The Sweeney. I think my mum deemed I was a bit too young, maybe. The Professionals, that was Bodie and Doyle, wasn't it? Yeah. But, yeah, Minder, definitely. The Sweeney, I come to watch The Sweeney on the repeats. I think it's ITV3, show it now and again.
What do you think, retrospectively?
I quite enjoy it.
I think being in London actually helps.
Yeah, it is funny to go, well, I know that bit. You know, Billy Murray pops up now and again in Minder and in Thing. And I think, you know, I've come across Billy Murray. You know, he won't know who I am, but as a kid, I knew someone that knew Billy Murray. Used to see him about a bit, and in my working capacity in the area, used to bump into Billy Murray about, and we used to eat in the same restaurants sometimes at the same time as well. I'm sure a lot of people did. The last one is Only Fools and Horses, Death Do Us Part, or 40 Towers. You can pick one.
Only Fools and Horses for that one.
Yeah, I would go Only Fools and Horses. I'd actually go Fools and Horses, 40 Towers, then Till Death Do Us Part in that order.
Yeah,
Death Do Us Part. A lot of shouting.
Yeah, there weren't much to it when you look back at that, I think you'll find.
No, there's something that dates.
Yeah. And of course, it dated worse because they tried to be topical.
Yes.
All the time, trying to be, you know. Yeah, it wasn't great.
No.
Do you know what? I was thinking about that the other day, or I was talking to someone. But I remember in the later ones that the scriptwriter, he name-checked George Parris by being a black guy playing for West Ham. He was saying, who's a black guy playing? And it was Marigold. Stephen something, his name, isn't it?
Yeah.
He says, that's Parrish. And he's like, I wonder how he felt, Georgie, seeing that. Because now, wouldn't even be allowed to sort of... But I wonder how he felt being name-checked, or if he knew anything about it.
It is a thing now.
Strange, isn't it?
Do you think... Johnny Spate, quite a left-winger. Do you think in creating Alf Garnett, which was supposedly to poke fun at the racism in a way, and it was supposed to highlight the stupidity of it, do you think in creating Alf the way he did, that he actually created an anti-hero, or like a hero, and people actually, because they liked Alf so much, missed the point of what he was trying to do.
I think so. I do remember that Warren Mitchell said he experienced a lot of people thinking that.
Yeah.
Because he's from Kelly and Town, wasn't he, Johnny Spate?
He was, yeah.
Trying to think of the other things he wrote.
Yeah, I can't say I know. He obviously tapped into a way of thinking.
I think he saw it, probably obviously saw it all around him.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And so a lot of people would have bought into Alf Garnett as actually going, I'll make him right, you know? I'll make Alf right.
Yeah.
And actually, it sort of made, you know, defeated the object of the, you know, because actually Alf was quite well loved. And while the Scouser, who was Sherry Blair's dad, in real life, I should add, obviously, Tony Booth, was more disliked.
Yeah,
a bit off pace. If you don't know who Alf Garnett is, you have to go and look him up, people.
Yeah.
I put a clip of Alf Garnett film on YouTube. There was a film made, and he goes to Upton Park to watch a game. And where it was such a bad film, Tony Booth weren't in it. They got another Scouse actor.
That's right.
And whoever the actress that played his daughter, whose name escapes me, I think she only passed away recently, she wasn't in it either. So
Eunice Stubbs,
she wasn't in it either, playing a daughter. So a different girl played his daughter. And I clipped the 10 minutes and put it on YouTube just because they were at Upton Park, showed Upton Park in the 70s, and they also went in the Black Lion after.
Yeah.
And they actually went into the Black Lion after. And there was a lot of famous people, but Kenny Lynch was in the film.
That's right.
And the owners of West Ham were in it. And throughout the game, he refers to Kenny Lynch as what I would now call the C word, but not the see you next Tuesday. So he was calling that constantly. And I think that's been viewed 30,000 times, that 10-minute clip. And it does baffle me how it got viewed so much. And it makes me wonder what Kenny Lynch thought, actually, being referred to in that way so publicly.
He's not here to tell us anymore.
No,
is he?
No. Sadly, even Kenny's gone.
Neither is Johnny Spate.
No, Johnny's. Well, they've all gone now. I mean,
is Warren Mitchell dead?
Yes,
I missed that one.
Yeah, he passed a few years ago. You'll have to look it up, people. See it. Right, we're coming up to...
Marigold's doing very well in America still.
Is he?
Yeah. I saw him something the other day.
All right. I didn't know that. Hold up.
Who's next up, Sean?
Next up is Martin Rosebolts. His evening all. Great game v Spurs. Deserved win with Wolves. He said, I was envious of the quality of the subs that Newcastle and Spurs brought on. So Newcastle brought on Almirion, Barnes and Saar. We could lose Johnson, Creswell and Mbama. How big is our budget? And how many... two questions. How big is our budget? We probably don't know. But how about... how many new players do we need?
Depends on the manager is.
Yes.
Depends who goes. Fucking a lot, actually, when you think about it. Because I don't want to think. Let's not get too far in.
It depends what you know. And this is why sometimes I think, like, if a new manager comes in, what is he? Where are we going? This is maybe hard to believe. I think this is. peak West Ham in Premier League era, and that actually off the back of this there is no getting better than this, and that the only way is down. That's what I think. I tell you why, because if you bring in a more expansive manager, I still think the likes of Pacatar will go, Aguerd will go.
The three that were mentioned, they're already going. Creswell.
Yeah. I mean, Johnson's leaving. You know, if Pacatar goes, you know, don't know about Emerson, they're buddy buddies. What about Bowen or Caduce? Does someone come and cherry pick them? You know, there's a lot.
Someone will put in an offer for Caduce.
Yeah, you know, there'll be a lot of. It's a big rebuilding job on, because we are light in numbers at the end of the day. And if we start losing, you know, some of the first team, we could be looking at 6 or 7 players in.
We kind of need this technical director and
yeah,
a new manager situation now, because I can't see fucking Moyes signing players, the amount of players we need. And I can see Tim doing it.
Well, I wouldn't say so much. I think we need the technical department and a more professionalised scouting system, in the way to bring in the players in, you know. It's very rare that we sign a player, you know, likes, you look at what Brighton do with the Caicedos, and you know, they have this conveyor belt of being able to sign these players who fit straight in and then sell them on for a lot of money. But Brighton are struggling, aren't they? I don't think Brighton are going to finish above us. I only see Newcastle. From the teams below us, I truly only see Newcastle finishing above us. So I don't think we'll get 6th spot, because I think Man United will probably be there or thereabouts. But, you know, I can definitely see us getting 8th. But I just think next season maybe will be, you know, more mid-table mediocrity.
Yeah.
And then, you know, unless the ownership thing changes, the rot will start to set in. So whoever replaces Moyes, I don't know, you know, I just don't see it. I don't see it being better than this, in position-wise. The football might be better. You know, and this is the funny thing, is you swap it around, you drop us, if you take 4 points up of us, drop us down the table, but we've won 10 games at home, but only won 3 away. I think the fan base is happier. Do you know what I mean? It's about entertaining your own fans, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Paul Nolan, who's the last one, he says...
Is he?
He is. Beep, beep. Show for his driving. He's got 3 parts. With Paqueta off in the summer, how much do you think we'll get for him? Will we sign several players? And if so, do we trust Iden or Moyes? That's 3 questions in the first question there. Paul, you've been a bit greedy.
We do trust Iden.
Yeah. Funny enough, I don't think Moyes has really had his finger on the cash. It's either Steiden or Sullivan. So, there's that to it. Obviously, we'd prefer Steiden. 2, away allocations of tickets are becoming a real issue for me. Pre-kids, I used to go to a lot of away games, which he did, without any issues getting tickets. Why has it changed so much over the years, and why is it so difficult to get them? Should we stop Dodsy having them all? Good question.
I've noticed that the
away support,
they're a lot younger than they used to be.
Yeah, I did. you know, I do look at it, you know, and, you know, these three girls walk past me at Newcastle. Two of them look like they've just come out of a bag of Watsits. Yeah?
Yeah.
And they've got their glasses on their head, their sunglasses. Probably a brand, I don't know, not, you know, and they look all dolled up as if they want a night out. And I know there's the thing about the dolly birds and whatever, but I do wonder, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, is it going to these games, is it about being seen at that than what you're going to watch?
Yeah.
So it's all, you know, it's became like a social event going to away games in that a certain section like to be seen there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then the actual football game itself. And it does baffle me. Listen, I don't know. I had a bloke next to me at Newcastle who missed every West Ham goal.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is he kept going to the bar to get a drink. And he missed all three West Ham goals.
It's a long trip to miss all the goals.
You know? And I know everybody's got a different reason for going away games. You know? But I wouldn't go as far as it's a closed shop. If you work the system, I don't know about play the system.
Hard work though, isn't it?
If you work the system, it takes a lot of hard work, takes a lot of effort. You can break into it. The only problem is that as soon as you stop, you end up like me, in a way. Yeah. And it's not sour grapes, because I knew, in a way, I was prepared to what was going to happen. And I resigned to the fact that, you know, I went from last season having over 30-odd points to, I think I'm on 18 now. So, you know, there was a big drop off. So I think I dropped down to 7 last season. So next season, I should only drop down to 10 or 12, I believe. And this is what you got to do. You got to keep chipping away. You know, Newcastle, you know, I put in for the ballot and got tickets. So there is always the ballot system. The thing you got to do is, you can't complain if all you put into the ballot for is London games. You got to try and get the tickets. I took a punt that Newcastle at 12:30 on an Easter weekend wouldn't be oversubscribed, and I was right. Mm. So you have to do it. That's what you have to do. The fan base is getting younger, or we're getting older.
Yeah. Well, it's the births, deaths, and marriages that wipes off your points.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't get them back because someone's took your place.
Yeah.
And you either accept it, or work hard, or spend big.
Yeah.
So,
the funny thing is, I think there's more fans now that possibly go every game of the season than there used to be.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't feel... I mean, I'm only right at the end of the Upton Park days, I always got a ticket to Palace.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So you there once, didn't I?
Exactly. First time we met was at Palace away, yeah.
And,
yeah.
No, you never get anywhere near it.
No. No. It's...
Palace, Brighton, Southampton, all these ones that were a relatively short home game, relatively, always get tickets for them.
Yeah, well, some away games would go down to members.
Yeah.
You know, now...
Never now.
Blimey. Now away games are selling out at 30-odd points.
And you need two strong seasons to get that kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can't even get the opportunity to get 30 points. Even if I wanted to start again, I still wouldn't be able to get 30
points.
No, well,
as you can see, I've gone, you know, I've gone Blimey, what have I managed? 3 away games this season. And one of them I went in the home end. Only once did I get a ticket through the ballot system. And I think at no time this season, I might be wrong, I don't think I've qualified for an away ticket in the league, not cup. I don't think, even though I think Freiburg away went down to 15 or 16, I didn't have enough at that time. So, it's hard, but it's doable, Paul. And lastly, he says he needs to get a third season ticket. So I'm guessing he's got another kid that wants to come football, or his missus wants to come. Wants to get a third season ticket. Would you buy one or not with the price increase? Reversing into the week.
Where is he?
Was he sitting near us? No, I think he sits directly opposite. I think he's a band 3 or 4. I think he's over the other end. I don't know. Funny enough, yes, I think I've had a couple of games. I think he's had 2 games with me, Paul. When you listen, let us know, Paul, what you thought of the view up there, because there's always that option, band 5. It's hard when there's 3 of you, because this is the thing, isn't it? This is the big thing with, Ironwork Alliance need to... are trying to get their act together, need an area as such. The club ain't going to help them, so they've got to pick an area and then try and do it, off their own back. But how do you get existing season ticket holders to move? Because if you say that to people, they'll generally dig their heels and go, I ain't going nowhere, you can't force me out.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're sitting around season ticket holders and you want to bring a mate over, how easy is it to do? Well, it ain't that easy, is it?
Nah.
You know, despite the fact that 90% of times in my row next to me, as well you know, there's an empty seat, but according to the club, that's someone's season ticket.
Hmm.
And I couldn't tell you who it is because I don't think I've ever seen them. Or if I have, I've not realised that it's their season ticket. So, I don't know. As long as people renew, what can the club do?
No idea.
No. I think that's it. I'm just going to double check because I ain't leaving people out.
Yeah.
Look back in. We've got a couple of newcomers. Right, a new pass. Stuart Past Masters. Here we go. He says, first time. West Oxenhammer, long time listener. West Oxen. Quite our Oxfordshire got to become called Oxen. I don't know. Where's the N in Oxfordshire?
It might be like Huntingdonshire, which was a little county in Cambridgeshire. That might be that, because there's still Hunts.
West Oxenhammer. I thought that was like Cotswolds territory over there. Says Nigel, I was brought up in Barking. My commiserations. But went to school in Romford. Oh, posh boy now. Great podcast. Thanks to you all, especially Len, Nigel and even Sean. Speaking of Sean, here we go. I have a question for him to ask of his WHU hierarchy bodies. As a long time... here we go. We'll put it to him. As a long time serving member of HM Forces, God bless you, I wanted to know why WHU do not offer tickets for the Tickets for Troops. Other Premier League clubs do, but not all. Tickets for Troops is a charity. Just wonder why the club don't give some away. Keep up the good work. Thanks, fellas. Well, Stuart, thanks for the question. You made it. Only 15 minutes but you made it. We will pass that on to Sean, and we will get you an answer.
Yeah. We'll give him a bit of abuse for you as well, yeah. Mate.
Yeah. There you go. I have screenshotted that to send to Sean, and we'll see what happens next week. But welcome, Stu. Next up, Ian Gravett, top fan, says, evening, gents. Sorry about last week, my non-question. He said, I was about to ask where you all sat, but got carried away, so here goes. He says, when are season tickets on general release? I tried to apply last year, just before June. And if people are buying the season tickets and not attending, is it fair that the price almost doubles? Do you think Johnson has already signed with another club? Brady, yes. Out.
Brady out.
Yes, he's going to Crystal Palace, Ian. There you go. Sean told us. It's all been done and agreed, and it will be announced at the end of the season. Season tickets. I tried to apply last year just for June. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I know people that are not paid to be on the waiting list and getting season tickets. So maybe you just got to ring up at the right time, eh? And if people are buying the season tickets and not attending, is it fair that the price almost doubles? I don't get that bit.
Why are they related? How's that related?
I don't know.
People ain't turning up. Is it fair? What he's saying is...
Is it match day prices almost doubles? So if the season ticket holder don't turn up, I don't. You'd have to explain that again to me, E. And we'll do our best to answer it next time. And last up, Eddie the Eagle, Edwards. It's the supporting West Ham is a rollercoaster ride. Takes us from sublime to ridiculous. And with all the sports documentaries out there, I'm surprised we haven't already had one. But I just wondered, if you could have had a behind-the-scenes Access All Areas documentary in any one particular season in West Ham's history, which one would you like to have seen?
He's taking a piss out of me, isn't he?
Personally, I think I'd go for the 06-07 season because of the out-of-the-blue arrival with Tevez and Mascherano, the Icelandic takeover, the sackings of Pardew, Premier League finalists, and then the Great Escape. And it was mad even by our standards. What season would you have chosen? Well, you have chosen, didn't you?
Yeah. Well,
do you want to tell him?
Well, yeah. Generally, the cup winning season, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a little bit of, you know, build up to that. From 78, from the relegation to winning the cup in the second division. Mm. Which kind of made us everybody's second team. Emphasis on the second. Because we're a second division team. But his season...
I mean, one day we could make that documentary about the 06-07.
We could, but there's hurdles.
It's not the right time at the moment. Yeah.
Also, with how much do we tell that we know that other people don't know?
I think if you
players
do it,
are a fucking pain. I'll tell you that for free.
I think if you do it, it's got to be at a time when it can be done and put out there. The definitive story. Blimey.
I wouldn't want to start it and... This is the problem that I learned from the second project. You don't want to start anything and it not be 100% of what you intended.
Yeah.
And when you look at the people involved in that, legally, with the Tevez and Mascherano things, that's one thing, right? The players, not good, great group of players to work with.
But would you need all the players? So when you look at it, yeah. So let's take that 06 season, yeah.
Right.
What we got here is we've got.
What's the?
I'll tell you. I've got the start to
what
you.
We go to. Right. So what's the beginning, the middle, of the end?
So, right. So here's the beginning. Yeah.
Right.
The beginning is we lose the cup final. Yeah. That's right. The beginning. The next part is then. The start of the season is on a high. Possible takeover story with the two Argentinians turning up, linked to that possible takeover. Then you got that takeover not happening, but another takeover happening, and the club sold for the first time in its history. We then have the sacking of the manager, Pardew, the nosediving results, the takeover happens, the manager gets sacked, new manager comes in.
Right.
Still, results are bad, despite him winning his first game in charge against Man United.
Yeah.
And then...
Where's your happy ending
coming from? Mascherano going to Liverpool. The can of worms that's opened. You got the tribunal during the season before the Wigan game and what happened there. Then, which is thrown in, you got the last 9 games of the season where we won 7 out of 9. And the 2 we lost, 1 was to Chelsea. We're in the same week. 1 to Chelsea and 1 to Sheffield United. And then you had the last day victory away to Man United.
Staying up.
Thrown in with the fact that Dave Unsworth, ex-West Ham player, employed by Sheffield United but on loan at Wigan, scores the penalty that keeps Wigan up and relegates Sheffield United. And then, off the back of that, you get part 2, which is...
Fucking hell.
Yeah, but it does, because it is then the tribunals with Sheffield United and what happens there and what is subsequently... You know, even the transfer of Tevez to Man United, how that played out.
Well, is the happy ending in part 2 then?
There is no happy ending in part 2 because we get bought by Golden Sullivan. The actual season 06-07, I get it, is probably a fantastic subject. So if you look at who would you have starring in it, yeah? So if you're drawing up a cast list, yeah?
Yeah.
We'd need... blimey. Well, could you get someone like Scott Duxbury to sit down? Not sure. A big player. So you look at the directors at the time. You got Bran, who don't speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have Paul Aldridge, who was one of the club secretary or whatever at the time. And you got Scott Duxbury, chief exec. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I don't think he was at the time, actually, Scott Duxbury. I think he was a junior. Then you got the takeover, and I think Duxbury succeeds because he backed the Icelandics rather than the Russians.
So you're going into... The thing is, you're going to this. What you said might be good audio, but would not be good TV.
Possible. Yeah, that's a point.
It would not keep you in...
Because I've not even...
You know, you got half chance.
Yeah, I've not even gone down the road of the Russians that wanted to buy the club, that were bankrolling him, that both of them ended up dead within years.
So you could do it on YouTube, go to a lot of, expense, and it not make...
Yeah.
Obviously, you won't make it. Whatever we do, even me now,
yeah,
we're not making any money.
No, but you could actually barnstorm. We could do a podcast series.
You could do a podcast series.
Just.
And you could get people. I mean, I could get you. You'll get more success as a podcast series.
Yeah.
Because people will be more willing to give you audio.
Yeah.
And then you'll have loads of audio in the bank as well, rather than do... I'm talking from experience here, rather than do...
That's true. Because if you can get one of them to talk, get better background and whatever. So you got 2 managers there.
Well, I'll definitely get one.
Yeah, and then the other one is very media-friendly at the moment. Yeah.
Could get him.
So there's the 2 managers.
You know, Pardew was Kerbush's first signer at Charlton.
Was he really?
Yeah, so
I didn't know he played for Charlton.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
So we could get...
Hmm. So you've got the two managers. You're not going to get players' representatives, but you get someone like, I don't know if you'd get Mark Noble. You probably wouldn't.
No.
He broke into the team. Maybe Bobby Zamora. Maybe a Marlon. No.
Marlon. Oh, he owes me, so he can do it.
So, like a Marlon was there.
Marlon asked for a painting. He can pay that back. Marlon. I think Anton would probably do it, but I'm not so sure he...
Just from a player's point of view, with the two newcomers coming in and everything else, yeah, it's possible. Not a bad idea. We'll talk about it further. I like the idea of that.
Hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, time consuming as well. That might be your...
That's going to be my downfall.
No, it won't be downfall. Well, I mean... Fucking damn, we've been talking for fucking 4 hours already.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, no, I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility if you do audio.
Yeah. Some food for thought. But anyway, that is the last question.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. Len has been...
Well, I've been fucking tired, to be honest.
Yeah. And Nigel has been in
his
shed.
Where you've been? Oh, you're in the shed.
I'm in the shed.
This is that time of year.
Yeah, I'm in the shed, but no jingle because I've not downloaded it. So, but anyway, thanks for listening, people. And you'll be glad to know that Silly Bollocks is probably back next week, and the professional will be back hosting. Until then, we'll see you later.
Cheerio.
Bobby Moore.
More than just a podcast.
Bobby Moore.
More than just a podcast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.